When it comes to financial advice, you gotta trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. And I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off. Hey, I'm Shauna Compton-Game. This is Millennial Money. And today we're talking the rebirth of Detroit with my husband and travel writer, Jeff.
Millennial Money with Shauna Compton-Game. It will expand your brain.
Hey there, and welcome to Travel Tuesday. So today we're going to talk about Detroit, which was one of the iconic American cities for many, many, many decades, and it went into all kinds of financial problems and despair, corruption, and there's been so many things written about Detroit of it's almost like a wasteland. But there's really a rebirth that's happening in Detroit, and it has been for a few years now. I have been traveling to Detroit many years. I have family that live outside of Detroit, and it's one of those cities that I used to always go to and just go, okay, it's a little sketchy here. I like parts of it. And I usually don't feel unsafe in a lot of the cities, but Detroit, I always kind of did. Nothing ever happened, but it was just one of those cities. Today, that vibe is way different. It seemed like it's cleaned out. There's still a lot of empty buildings, but what you see is growth everywhere. And a lot of those empty buildings are being turned into amazing restaurants, really stellar hotels, and so many other businesses. And the cool thing, it's the entrepreneurs that are really taking the city back. It's not the big business or manufacturers, which is was, you know, almost the death of Detroit, with so many manufacturers going out of business and whatnot, and let alone with all the corruption and everything like that. So Detroit is just one of those cool, gritty cities that has really great bones. It has some of the best architecture you will ever find. I mean, it really does look like a movie set. And one of the cool things is that if you look over the river and across the bridge, you see Canada right across there. So it just has this really great skyline, has architecture throughout the city. The houses are really amazing. Some of my favorite places that I've discovered there, their top restaurant in the entire city is called Selden Standard. I've done an interview with their head chef. He's really great, and that restaurant is seriously awesome. You need to check that out. The Dime Store, owned by a few younger millennial owners, and they decided to start a business downtown in Detroit. Really great breakfasts there. Gold Cash Gold, it's another restaurant that used to be a pawn shop, hence the name Gold Cash Gold. There's so much shopping in different parts of the city. One of the streets that has like breweries and has shopping and restaurants. Shinola makes really great watches, high-end bikes, leather goods, all kinds of really cool things. City Bird, all kinds of different things about the city. A lot of artists will contribute work there and stuff like that, designers and artists and stuff like that. So there's a lot of really great places to go shop. Detroit has always been a music scene city. It's just one of the best music scenes in the country. Motown and whatever else had started there. And now Jack White from the White Stripes has his own Third Man Records there. And so that's another venue to go check out gigs, as well as they have signings and record store deals and things like that. So that is really cool too about Detroit. It is just definitely a city you want to check out. For so many different reasons. It has a really great art scene. There are just tons and tons of restaurants and hotels that are opening and finally opening. They're redoing the riverfront area. The Red Wings, the Detroit Red Wings hockey team is putting in a new stadium there. And so there's going to be all kinds of restaurants and bars and stuff like that. So it is definitely a really cool city. One of those cities that has totally changed my mind about Detroit. So we were joined by local and co-owner of Detroit Denim. It's a denim place, Brenna Lane. And she gave us some more insight on how Detroit is one of the coolest cities to travel to these days.
Detroit Denim was founded by my partner, Eric Gelsman. He started the company when he got laid off during the whole 2008 kind of fiasco. They shut down his entire division, and he had been obsessed with jeans for quite a few years and thought, you know what, I got to give this a try. And then he moved into Pony Ride, the incubator space that the company was started in, and he needed some help, and he posted an ad on Craigslist for a sewer needed. And I thought, oh, I can sew. I've done that. I mean, I've sewn my whole life. My grandma taught me to sew when I was young, and I was in grad school at the time. And I was waitressing to pay my way through grad school, and I was tired of waitressing, so I took this sewing job. And the job was for 2 days a week, and I just kept showing up 6 days a week, and just because I loved it so much. And he was like, you know, I can't pay you that much. And I was like, that's okay. I'm really happy. And then after a while, we kind of realized that we made a really good team. We cover each other's gaps, I think, and very well. And so I said, Eric, how about we trade some equity in the company for some, you know, for some very cheap labor. So I guess I earned it the old fashioned way.
Right. Right. So what were you going to grad school for?
I was studying economic anthropology.
Okay. Okay.
Yep.
And so did you ever, besides sewing with from your grandmother, so like, did you have any experience in fashion or denim or anything like that?
Absolutely not. I still don't have any experience in fashion. I have a lot of experience in denim now, but, you know, I'm more, so Eric is more kind of front end sales customers. He's the creative designer. And I'm more back end, technical design, pattern making, shop operations and kind of production engineering. So my role here is much more technical than it is creative, which is, you know, I'm a much more technically oriented person. So, you know, I'm our sewing machine mechanic. I do our patterns and I do a lot of more of the technical stuff. We like to say that Eric comes up with all the good ideas and then I just make sure they're productionable.
Right. Well, so why did you decide to become a partner at that time in Detroit in a business that's making actual products actually in Detroit?
One of the things was in my studies, in economic anthropology, I was essentially studying, you know, our relationship with our material goods, and I was specifically focusing on food. But through making things, kind of in a craft manufacturing level, and by no means mass manufacturing, I was started to become really interested in how we relate to the material goods around us. Specifically our clothing. And I was just fascinated by it from kind of an academic standpoint, but also there is just something so catchy about making things. And the work of it is very relaxing. Sewing is extremely relaxing to me. It's also challenging, but going through the process of kind of seeing something in your head and then sketching it out and then trying to figure out how to solve the problems of the pattern and then making it and seeing a finished piece or, you know, a pile of 20 finished pieces that you made all day is so rewarding. And then to have someone come along and like it enough that they want to give you money for it is like really personally rewarding. I just really saw opportunity. I just really felt like Detroit Denim was going to be something. Eric's kind of ethos and approach to everything was not just let's make as much as we can as cheaply as possible and convince people that they have to have it. It was kind of the opposite. It's that, you know, it was more of a let's make things of the highest quality that we can, and we know we're not going to be for everybody, but for people who appreciate what we're doing, you know, we'll find those people and we'll see if we can make a living doing this. And I really appreciated that approach. So I knew I wanted to be a part of it.
Did you guys move to a storefront or you guys just moved locations from Pony Ride?
Well, we graduated from Pony Ride, which is an amazing makerspace, incubator, small business kind of startup space in Corktown here in Detroit. And there are so many different amazing makers in that space. You know, I think the idea of Pony Ride is that you stay there for, you know, 3, 4, 5 years on some reduced rents and then eventually kind of get, you know, take off the training wheels and go out into the real world. And we just earlier this year moved into our own space. So we have our flagship store is here on the front end of our space. And then right behind it, we have a big glass wall. And right behind that is about 3,000 square feet of manufacturing space. So we make and sell everything out of our new space. And we couldn't be happier here. We have so much more room. We have, you know, even room to grow, room to add more people. And we love having a store that's so accessible. And we're really excited to see what we can do for the holidays through that space. So
Right. Yeah, I actually did an article involving Pony Ride and interviewed Phil Coley for another article and stuff. So
yeah.
It's a really great spot. I love that. We all were just blown away how cool, how many different cool businesses there were there.
So many. And, you know, they become your friends. It's like, well, of course they become your friends. We were just like a family there at Pony Ride. And I have to say, on the one hand, being on our own kind of allows us to really focus. There's not all the distractions of, you know, that come with being in a communal or a community space. But on the other hand, man, I miss being around all those creative people because it was just like you were surrounded by problem solvers and creative thinkers. And you, if you don't have a tool, make it, you know, not just, let's go buy that tool. You know, it was an amazing kind of energy and atmosphere there that is just impossible to replicate on our own. So we miss it.
Right.
In your new storefront, is that part of the new riverfront? Are you guys in that area that they're developing?
Yeah, so we are in what's called Rivertown. We're just two blocks off the river. We're on the corner of Franklin and McDougal. And yeah, this area is developing pretty quickly. It's really a beautiful area. The Detroit Riverfront is unbelievable. And the Detroit Riverwalk, Conservancy many years ago, even before the whole kind of Detroit was on an upswing thing happened, the Detroit Riverfront Conservancy said, we have to take advantage of this amazing, you know, natural kind of gem, which is our river. And they built miles and miles of connected walkways and paths, and there's fountains and carousels and waterworks parks and you know, Michigan native wildflower gardens. And it's the Riverwalk is absolutely one of the best things Detroit has going for it. And to be just a few blocks away from that and to, you know, be able to go for a walk during lunch or as we, you know, problem solve or, you know, we'll have walking meetings. And it's so nice. We love the river. So, and we love Rivertown. Rivertown is very, our neighbors here have very much welcomed us with open arms. There's a lot of great stuff going on here.
That's great. Are you actually from Detroit?
I'm from Royal Oak. Okay. I grew up in Royal Oak, just outside of Detroit, about 5 miles from Detroit, as the crow flies, but quite further from Detroit culturally. But I've lived in Detroit for 10 years now.
Right, right. Yeah, I actually have some relatives live in Royal Oak and in Grand Rapids, so.
Okay, yep.
And I was really blown away how much Detroit has improved. It was always one of those sketchy kind of cities for me for the longest time. And now there's just so much entrepreneurship and so much growth, and you could really see the potential there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Detroit's always been an what I would call like an underground city. I guess to the outsider, there's not much going on. But if you know what's behind that door that's covered in graffiti, and you know that inside is like the hottest jazz you'll find in the city on a Tuesday night. It's there. It's not always on the surface, but and you know, that's existed for a while. Detroit definitely has its share of sketchiness, as you say, but and always has and always will, I hope anyways. There has definitely been an uptick in the kind of more, I think, accessible to the non-Detroiter kind of music, art, food. That's definitely on the uptick.
Right. Why do you love Detroit?
Why do I love Detroit? Yeah. I love Detroit for the people. Detroiters are incredibly resilient. They're incredibly perseverant and tough, and also very kind and neighborly. Everyone says hi when you're walking down the street, and if you pass someone, you make eye contact and you give them a head nod or a hello. And I was in New York City and I was walking down the street and I'd just say hello to everyone, and they would look at me like I was crazy, and I had to stop because there were just too many people and I couldn't say hi that fast that many times. And and no one smiled back. So I think we're a really friendly city. I think that's partly, we're from the Midwest and partly out of kind of the necessity of needing to know your neighbors and needing to know who you're sharing a space with from a safety issue or from a safety standpoint. But that doesn't even begin to scratch the surface of why I love Detroit. I mean, the people is one thing. The art and architecture is, I think, unparalleled. Our architecture is just stunning. Detroit, you know, was really built up during a time when we were one of the richest cities in the United States, and our art museum was filled with art during that time. And our Belle Isle, our Island Park was built, and there's just so much so much beauty that even though there's been a little bit of a dinge on it and it's kind of been left to sit for a few years, that beauty is still there. And the music scene in Detroit is unreal. Like, whether you're into hip hop or jazz or blues or electronic or even like good old mountain music or classical, we have an amazing, the Detroit Symphony Orchestra is out of this world. So there are the cultural, aspects of Detroit, I think, are definitely one of my favorite parts of the city.
Yeah. Well, what I meant before about sketchiness, I felt it was always that way before, and I'm from Los Angeles. It can be dangerous here, and I've been to New York so many times. I feel safe there, but Detroit was always like, all right, I don't know if something's going to go on here. I don't know. But now I don't feel that way anymore. Now it sort of like there's been a reset now there.
I would say that reset has happened in some very particular areas. So yeah. Downtown,
sure.
Midtown,
sure.
There are some neighborhoods that have been that, you know, you definitely don't feel like the Detroit I remember when I moved here 10 years ago. But that, you know, Detroit's big. Detroit's about 140 square miles.
Yeah.
And they call, you know, they talk about the set. I think that it's the 7.2 miles that are getting all the kind of rebirth and the money and the attention right now. But outside of that, there is still, you know, just endemic poverty, very low literacy rates, huge, very high jobless rates. And, it's kind of becoming more and more a tale of two cities. And I think the main goal for, or I guess the kind of question at hand for people like us who have benefited from the city's kind of uptick is how do we help the neighborhood see that as well? Because, you know, downtown and midtown are just booming. And like you said, you don't kind of feel that like, oh, is something bad going to happen to me here? But, you know, there is still a whole lot of Detroit that is hurting and in desperate need of effective city services. And I think that's kind of the question of the moment is how do we make sure that this rising tide does in fact lift all boats and not, you know, leave behind, acres and acres of the city.
Right. One of the things I was impressed of the new and growing restaurant scene there. Tell me about some of the places that you like to eat now in Detroit and or bars or even places just to hang out.
Yeah, we have such good food in Detroit. Oh, we have good food. And I love to eat. I love to eat. My partner, Eric, he always says, Brenna, you never look at me the same way you look at me when I'm walking towards you with a plate of food. I really, really love to eat. And one of the things I think that makes our food scene so unique, now we have amazing new restaurants popping up like Selden Standard and Katoy and Mabel Gray and just unbelievable restaurants that I can't always afford to eat at as regularly as I would like. But there's also these kind of little independent places, Rose's Fine Foods, for example, on Jefferson on the east side I've never not been amazed by their food. They do all their pickling in house. They make their own bread in house. They have an insane breakfast menu. Rose's Fine Foods I want to go there right now, as a matter of fact. Another place I love to eat is El Asador in the Southwest. It's a kind of a small little Mexican steakhouse. It's a BYOB place, and it's, the ambiance is terrible. There's terrible lighting and fake plants, and the food is out of this world. And it is just this kind of weird hole in the wall that is just the best food, best Central American food you can get. And we have a quite a diverse, demographic here in Detroit. We're right next to Dearborn, which is the largest Arab American population in the world outside of the Middle East. So we have insane Middle Eastern food, Al Amir in Dearborn on Warren Avenue. Oh my gosh. I just ate there the other day. And their hummus, their fattoush, their shish kafta is unreal. And then there's Hamtramck, which is just in the middle of the city and has amazing Polish food. We have great kind of ethnic foods. And so there's all those kind of new restaurants popping up. But these, some of these oldies but goodies are still around and kicking. And yeah, I can't get enough of the good food we have here.
What are some things that a traveler might discover about Detroit or surprise them about going to Detroit?
I think people will be surprised how friendly Detroiters are. We want help. We want, you know, we're in the Midwest, so we're friendly people. We there's a lot of natural beauty here too. I mean, you know, it's fall right now and Detroit in the fall time is just stunning. Detroit in the winter is beautiful. Detroit, there's nothing like a Detroit summer with the river and the lakes all around, and spring obviously is stunning as well. And we have some beautiful city parks, and we have Belle Isle, and again, the architecture, there's some really stunningly beautiful things here. And I think to a traveler who's never been here, who's maybe heard some stories about, oh, Detroit, you know, where the wheat get killed and eaten, that kind of narrative of Detroit, to see that we're actually really friendly people living in a very beautiful city, that might surprise them.
Yeah, I think Detroit, they just have really great bones. I mean, the architecture is just, it's really amazing. You're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe some of these buildings. It looks like a movie set, really.
Yes, absolutely. And even things like streetlights, you know, you're like, we were just walking down the river and there's a manhole cover, you know, and how they're dated. Most of them are dated. And this one says 1898. I was like, oh, I guess they never needed to replace that manhole cover in, you know, over 110 years. So there you'll find sections of streetlights that are just at least 90 years old and they're stunning. And, there's some beautiful neighborhoods with architecture that is, just very beautiful.
Right. So what have you learned being a business owner, entrepreneur, since you started with Detroit Denim?
Oh, boy. I've learned so much. I've learned, honestly, I've learned to trust my gut a lot more. I'm kind of an anxious person. I'm kind of a worrywart. And a friend of mine, a dear friend, said to me, a few years ago, he said, listen, Brenna, business is all about making and taking calculated risks. And he said, if you trust your calculations, then take the risk. And that I think about that all the time, because it is what we're doing is risky. I've learned how to tell the difference between when my body just needs a nap and versus when I'm on the edge of becoming deathly ill, because the hours of it are just quite intense. There's, you know, we're in the thick of holiday production right now, so 14-hour days, 7 days a week, for pretty much from the beginning of October. Well, that won't end until December 24th. So I've learned how to get by on very little sleep. I've also learned how to, I think, communicate more effectively. And by that, I mean, not be scared to communicate things that maybe people don't want to hear, because there's no time for that anymore for me to kind of sugarcoat things. I've learned to be more direct and yeah, like I said, I've learned to trust my gut. I think I've have, you know, I've been doing this for 4 years now, and there's not really an apparel manufacturing scene here in Detroit. There's some stuff bubbling up, but it's not, this is not LA, this is not New York. So I used to really question and feel very apologetic for the way I had kind of set up the shop floor, or the way we stored fabric, or the order of operations of certain things. And I'm realizing that no, if it works for us, then it works. And that's the best way to do it. And, so I'm learning to trust that, I know what's best for, you know, our company from a production standpoint, and stop worrying about, well, how do the people in the real apparel manufacturing industry do it? Cause we are real. We are making clothes every day. And, so I've learned to trust that a lot more.
Why is a business like yours, or some of the other ones that are now like Shinola and places like that in Detroit, why is it that important for the growth of Detroit?
One, I think a lot of these small businesses that are popping up are makers. You know, they're making things. And Detroit has always been a manufacturing town. We have more engineers per capita here than anywhere else in the world. And that's definitely because of the auto industry. But we're kind of makers and tinkerers by nature. I think that there is a culture of tinkering in Greater Detroit that everyone was just, you know, had a place in their garage, like a little tool bench, where they would just kind of mess with stuff. And so there's tons of makers here. And I think that because of the state that Detroit found itself in economically, it just was kind of fertile ground for those small maker businesses to pop up, and some big maker businesses like Shinola. But you know, the small businesses that you know, kind of we run with, like the different groups out of Pony Ride, like Smith Shop, the Metalsmith Studio, or Lime Studio, Andrew Ward's amazing custom concrete work. There's just way too many to even name, but or Douglas and Company, they do leather, they do great leather work, or Hunt and Neuer, who does amazing furniture. Like, these are all small businesses, and the fact is that they're employing Detroiters and training Detroiters a skill, handwork, tactile making of things, which I think is something that's really missing. So many cities are so service oriented or tech oriented, and I love how maker oriented Detroit is. I think that's my partner Eric always says, you know, there's all this funding going around for the tech scene right now in Detroit, and you know, he gets a little grumpy and he says, as far as I remember, you still can't wear an app. And I agree with him. You know, we will always need clothes, we will always need furniture, we will always need these things. And you can't have an economy without a manufacturing base. So that's why I think these companies are very important for Detroit and the economic rebound, is that, we actually make things.
Right. What's the future of Detroit Denim?
Oh, the future of Detroit Denim. We're really excited to be in this new space and have the room to grow on a production end. I'm very excited in the new year to hire and train some new stitchers and move into some more products. We've really got the men's jeans down. We've gotten the patterns down. We've gotten the production process down. And now it's like, let's play around with some limited runs and different colors and things like that. But even that, now that we have everything kind of set up, it just works like a machine. So, now that we have that down, we are very excited to move into some other things. First and foremost, women's denim, which is a whole new bag. And also I'm eager to move into, we're working on a denim jacket, which we'll hope to have out before Christmas. And then in the new year, I'd love to do some shirting and men's tops and other outerwear, like kind of a work coat or other things like that. I'm really eager to get into knitwear. We do mostly heavyweight wovens right now, and I'm eager to get into knitwear and start making t-shirts and hoodies and crew necks. And I want to be able to offer, kind of a full men's line and then eventually a full woman's line, of kind of, staple goods that, are designed and manufactured to last a really long time. Being a full cut and sew operation and having the capacity to pattern and cut and sew and finish and sell all in house, really, it was a lot of hard work to build that. But now that we have that, it really, the sky's the limit when it comes to what do we want to make in the future. So, but you can bet on women's jeans in 2017. We're finally going to do it.
And last question, why is it a good time for someone to travel to Detroit?
Detroit is changing. Man, Detroit is changing, and it still has that kind of – the term is very overused, but it applies here. Detroit still has that grittiness, that, kind of dirt under the fingernails work ethic, but it's also polished. It's also, there's fine dining, there's world-class art, there's world-class music. We are a world-class city, but that's also kind of has this like very small town feel to it. And, there's so many things for, I think, travelers to see here, whether you're into, doesn't matter what you're into. If you're into cars, we got a lot of stuff for you there. If, the River Rouge plant down river does a tour, and it is unbelievable to see. I mean, this has to be a 200,000 square foot manufacturing facility, and just to see them make the cars, it's an unbelievable tour. I've thought it was a good time to visit Detroit 5 years ago or 10 years ago, because I've always loved Detroit. But now especially, there's just so much. There's something in the air right now in Detroit that I can't quite put my finger on. But there's a level of energy here that is something special. And I think travelers feel it too.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of other Detroiters that I've spoken to, that's what they say too. The exact same thing. It's just something in the air that just feels like it's so much different now than it's ever been before.
Yeah.
So where can we find Detroit Denim if we're looking online or if we're in the city?
Well, if you're looking online, you can visit our website at DetroitDenim.com. And if you're in the city, we'd love for you to come visit and see where, see where we make the sausage. Our address is 2987 Franklin Street in Rivertown. And we're open most days of the week. You can check our website for our hours. Any customers who stop by, we'd be happy to give a tour of our humble little workshop and show you around, and so you can kind of see who's making your clothes and how it's made and the love that goes into it. And we have lots of stuff, not just denim. We have, we sell jewelry, bags. We know a lot of amazing makers, and we carry a lot of their work as well. So
Detroit is on fire these days. There are so many people like Brenna that are, pouring new life and love and energy into this city that has been dilapidated and struggled for so long. And so many millennials are coming to Detroit, are visiting Detroit, are moving to Detroit. There are a lot of cool companies that are doing really cool things as benefits for young employees in Detroit. So I would definitely say add Detroit to your travel list. Check it out. Check out all the cool things that are happening, and definitely stop on by Detroit Denim.